In the passenger seat of the Dick van, Jack wobbled, swayed from the waist, and gasped. All the saliva in his mouth whipped through his cheeks and was gone. His tongue fused to his palate and stuck there.
"Grrr,"
he said. Dick heard him. "I hear you. In the back. Got a case of Gatorade. Get yourself one." Jack nodded, clambered over the hot transmission hump, and fell with a flat thump. The air around him fooled his muscle memory and inner ears. He was dizzy and nauseous. His head flopped from shoulder to shoulder with every change in the Dick van's Delta V. Images of the borough flashed in his eyes. Restaurant Punjabi, rims, lube, shocks, car on sidewalk, pregnant woman screaming, "Rent me!" Fat man selling ice cream, no money down, inspection station, mixed nuts, Torah Academy, 99 cents. Jack knew what was wrong with his equilibrium. He had the classic symptoms. They had warned him to expect it. "Crabs," he swore. "I'm landsick." "Landsick? Oh, crap." Dick had forgotten this was likely to happen. He'd seen it before. "Dick's got something here for you. Forgot, sorry." Dick extracted a hypodermic loaded with something bright red-orange from the glove box. Jack peered dubiously over the seat. "What's that? Oh." Jack considered the chemical stability the shot would deliver, but chose to act stoic and professional. "No, I'm going to ride this out. I don't want to get all confused just when I'm getting started." Dick shrugged and carefully stuck the syringe behind his ear. "Whatev, it's here if you want it." He steered the Dick van back to the appropriate lane. Unable to sit up reliably, Jack rolled around the back of the van until his head bonked into the side of the red plastic igloo cooler. He slid the top open and pulled a dripping bottle from the slush inside. Still on his back, Jack held the plastic nipple between his teeth, pulled, and squeezed a jet of sweet, salty, and sour wet electrolytes at his epiglottis. Startled, he squinted at the label. "Fierce melon? What is this?" "All the bold flavor you can handle, brah." Thwack! A gold-tip harpoon punctured the steel skin of the back door of the Dick van and with a shudder and a twang embedded itself in the rear of the passenger seat Jack had recently occupied. Jack tumbled to the left as Dick belatedly swerved. "What was that?" Jack yelled. Dick confirmed his guess with a glance in the mirror. "Harpoon! Maltese! After us! Hang on!" He gunned the Dick van and briefly kept it up as if he thought he could outrun his pursuers. The Maltese gained rapidly, whining turbos forcing cylinders to gulp more air. "Hang on back there," Dick shouted. "To what?" Dick began evasive maneuvers which were indistinguishable from his normal driving habits. Sudden lane changes, abrupt acceleration, erratic swerving. The Maltese changed lanes and came up alongside the Dick van. Dick waited for them to match speeds. He kept an eye on the gold tie in the passenger seat of the GNX, who was aiming a harpoon at the Dick van's front left tire. Dick revved as if trying to eke every drop of speed from his engine, then stomped on the brake, stopping the Dick van cold. A harpoon clattered across the hood and whizzed through a hole in an 8-foot-high promotional bagel. The Maltese roared away. Jack was thrown against the back of the front seats, then hurled off and tumbled around the rear of the van like a baby turtle in the churn as Dick pulled a hard Brooklyn U, cutting across the avenue and headed back towards Coney Island and the sea. "Come on back up here and have a seat. Pull the spear out first, though, brah." Jack yanked the heavy shaft and cruel barbed tip through the back of the seat in a burst of crusty foam and placed it carefully against the side of the van. Then he scrambled over the hump and dropped in against the cracked vinyl and unwound springs of the upholstery. He put on a seatbelt to hold him in place while his head lolled around. Peering down with one eye open, Jack noticed he was still clutching the Gatorade. He took another long pull through the sport top, swallowed, and let out a satisfied "ah," before remarking, "Fierce melon. In the Dick van." Dick agreed. "Fierce melon, in the Dick van." Then he checked his mirror. The Maltese were a dark smudge behind them. He said, "Dick don't know the back of his hand, but Dick knows Brooklyn better than them." He made an illegal right on red into the gray closeness of the side streets. Time had almost completely stopped for Jack. He was watching a dog squat and strain, squat and strain, squat and strain, squat and strain. Squat and strain. Squat. Okay, that's it. You need to take your medicine. Dick plucked the hypo from behind his ear and spiked it into Jack's thigh. Jack's body hinged closed at the waist, rigid in pain, until Dick slammed the plunger down with the heel of his hand and warm well-being spread outward from Jack's leg, down to his foot, around his groin to his other leg, and up his trunk to his arms, neck, face, and scalp, enveloping him in an orange cloud of sharp confidence and positive energy. "Yeah, fierce melon." He pulled a swig. "Ah, fierce melon in the Dick van, right?" Dick smiled at Jack, pulled the empty needle out of his leg and tossed it over his shoulder. You got that right. Fierce melon in the dick pan. Jack laughed. I mean, what the hell is a fierce melon? Not like a gentle melon, a passive melon, some kind of submissive guppy melon. Fierce melon, yeah! Fierce melon, echoed Dick. The first wave of the shot subsided. The second carried Jack up a gentler, longer slope to a place with better perspective. He remembered the Maltese trying to kill him. The Maltese, the ancient enemies of his people. Did we lose them? I think so. Haven't seen them since Avenue P, but who knows? I'm taking the scenic route to the drop. If they turn up again, we head for Jersey. What's in Jersey? My mother.
All right. Thanks again, Jay. More from Jack Fish. I'm reading along. I noticed, you know, some of the R-rated passages have become PG. You dropped the stuff about the buzzing genitals and holding his package.
Right. I have instructions to keep it PG.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Keeping it PG because it's public station, yeah. Department of
Public
Ed.
Airwaves, right. FCC.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we should point out at some point that the book itself may not be FCC compliant, and there are a number of wardrobe malfunctions and similar.
All right.